May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a word for all of us, but particularly for the 14 who are coming through the weekend. Just sort of a little miniature session. Just remind you of the scriptures I was reading earlier from John 14 about Christ saying, verse 10, "Do not believe that I am in the Father is in me, the words that I do. I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater than these, because I go to the Father." We know because he went to the Father, he poured out the Holy Spirit, talking about his ascension. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," again the Holy Spirit, "and he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. And he will not leave you, and I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you shall behold me, because I live, you'll live also. In that day," speaking of the day of Pentecost, when he would pour out his Spirit, when he would go to the Father, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and that you're in me, and that I'm in you." Jesus, the word another there, there's two words in the original language for another. One's another of a different kind. The other, this word, is another that's just exactly the same. And we know that later in the Supper Room Discourse, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's come to glorify him, to manifest him, to disclose him. He's the Spirit of truth, to make him real in them. And so he says on that day, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. Actually, he'll be in you, and because he's going to be in you, I'm going to be in you. And our union relationship will begin. Just like I've been in the Father, and the Father's been in me, from that day forward, you'll be in me, and I'll be in you. And you'll not live for me, you'll live from me. There's a difference. Out of union, you'll live from my life. Now, I said all that just to sort of create a foundation for this, because one of the things when we go through healing, one of the most important things that we do is to forgive. And it's one of the ways that we constantly walk in a place of spiritual health, because there's going to always be somebody new to forgive. Fallen people let us down, just like we have fallen, as fallen people have let other people down. And sometimes fallen people betray us severely. And it's probably the greatest thing the enemy uses to keep us from walking out and stewarding the life of Christ and the fullness of Christ, experiencing life and life more abundantly, is bitterness and unforgiveness. But you need to understand, again, as we read for those who went through or going through last night from the Ephesians 4 passage as well as Galatians, that he identifies anger and bitterness and malice as sin. So the challenge is that there are times when people really hurt us, and what it feels like is they deserve our anger and our bitterness. And it doesn't seem fair to say that somebody abused you or betrayed you or cheated on you, and your attitude of unforgiveness and bitterness is sin. That doesn't seem fair, because what you can say was, "Well, it's not my fault." Well, the truth is, it's not your fault what that person did, but your sin is your fault. And what that person did, and I know it hurts, but it's your sin that's eating you alive. It's the sin of bitterness. It's the unholy and unchristlike response that eats us up. in the big things and the little things that people do. Sometimes it's little issues we have to forgive. So this thing about forgiveness is so relevant and so important. If you're going to walk out and maintain a spirit-filled life. And those of you who are going through the weekend, you'll do a lot of forgiving, maybe tonight, already, tomorrow. And I understand, it's how easy it's going to be to say, but you don't know what they did and how bad they hurt me. Jesus knows. He's there with you in your hurt. But what he wants to set you free is what kills, and sin, the wages of sin, is death. And so it's so important that you understand that, because see, your freedom and your wholeness is not in somebody else's hands. No matter what they do, they can't rob you of God's best for you. They don't have that kind of power and authority. If they even walk out of your life, all they've done is they've walked out of their part in your story. But his story continues. But the only way their behavior or their actions can keep you from experiencing the destiny of Christ-likeness that God's called you to experience is by your unforgiveness. See, that's what the enemy was always really after. And so if he can keep you in unforgiveness, then he's still winning. But here's the issue. This is chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen is put in a situation where it'd be really easy for him to be bitter. Because all he's done since he got filled with the Spirit was to heal the sick, do all kinds of signs and wonders, help people. Yet they take him before the Sanhedrin, and now they're cursing him, they're gnashing their teeth at him. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 54, now when they heard this, things Stephen was saying, they were cut to the quick, and they began to gnash their teeth at him. Now, I've had people get mad at me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody gnash their teeth at me, so I don't know what that is, but it can't be good. But this is what it says. But being perpetually, that's the language here, filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Why did he cry out with a loud voice? I imagine he was pretty weak. Getting stoned to death is not a very fun way to die. He wanted them to hear it. And having said this, he fell asleep. Do that. Because when somebody hurts you, it feels so terrible. And it feels like your story and all your dreams have just been ruined. But you see, your story and your dream is Jesus. And it's his story in your life where you find your hope and happiness in the end. Doesn't mean it's not painful. But here's the thing about Stephen. He, from a place, forgave them. What did we read from John 14? It's when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you that you'll be in me and I'll be in you. You'll be in union with me and you'll now be living by my life. And so what did Stephen do? He forgave from the inside out. He didn't look at what they were doing going, well, that's really cool. They're stoning me to death. They're gnashing their teeth at me. That's okay. No, it wasn't okay. That was God's got to deal with them. But from the inside out, you see, we're in Christ, seated in heavenly places, and from that place, from union with Christ, in union with Christ, he extended the forgiveness of Jesus to them. If I could put it in practical language, I would be going, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your grace, for your heart now to forgive them. Thank you for forgiving them through me, because that's how I live now, you through me. And he saw glory. He didn't see what they were doing. He quit staring at their behavior and what it was costing him. He saw glory. You see, and when we move from that place of our union with Christ, and we believe that we're in Christ, even though other people's behavior may really shake us, you're still in Christ. Doesn't mean that was God's will for them to behave the way they behave, but you find yourself in a situation that you're still in Christ. And so you look beyond what they're doing and you see somehow through all this, I'm going to experience glory. God's glory is going to advance in my life. And from my place in union with you, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to forgive them through my emotions, my humanity. I forgive you. And the result of his behavior, because you see, whenever you and I sin with bitterness and anger, I went to a concert many, many years ago before I was a Christian. Some of you are not old enough to know who Emerson, Lake, and Palmer were. They're a really good group. Being a freaker that I was, I went to go to this concert, and because they were groups that freakers liked. And so we were standing at the Coliseum in Alabama, at the University of Alabama. And there was a gazillion people waiting to go into that place. And being in the condition that I was in, like everybody else was at that particular time, standing in those steps, I fell. And the interesting thing was, when I fell, other people fell too, because I took them with me. Later, when I gave my life to Christ, he brought that up to me, and I thought, he said, whenever you fall, Chuck, you always fall in a crowd. And when you sin, especially a sin like bitterness, you always fall in a crowd. It affects everybody around you. But because Stephen, out of union with Christ, saw glory and extended the forgiveness of Jesus from the heart of Jesus, forgave this person, there was a guy there. He said it loud enough so they all would hear. He didn't want to get even. He didn't say, you're going to pay for this one of these days. You're going to be really sorry. How can I ever forgive you for what you've done? He wanted them all to hear. It's crazy. It's a crazy way to live. Christianity is a crazy way to live. You don't get to get even. You can't make them pay for what they've done because Jesus already paid for what they did. That's not fair. But he paid for what you've done too. So it doesn't, trust me, it works out okay. Because he was so open, was so free, there was a guy named Saul who became the most important evangelist in Christian history, who wrote most of the New Testament, who when he's walking along the Damascus Road, the voice of Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you continue to kick against the goad? What was he saying? Your conscience has been just, he remembered. What was it about this man? How could he in that situation say, Father, forgive them? Sounded like Jesus, didn't it? Didn't Jesus say something like, because it was Jesus through Stephen. That's how you do it. That's how you can forgive. And there are going to be some people around you who are watching whose lives may be changed forever. People that you love fiercely. Or they may carry the deposit you put in them of bitterness, and it may affect them forever that way too. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.